seek out that clear teaching. That's why Issues Etc. is so great.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk, host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting, on the value of Issues Etc.
I can't speak highly enough of the times in my life, previous to seminary especially, where it was my lifeline. It was giving me the food that I needed, the clear thinking Christianity, to be able to know what I believed and why I believed it.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. Issues Etc. IssuesETC.org.
I already, before I did the movie, I already had a sense that I was someone that was more spiritual than specifically religious. I had a sense that I believed in a higher power, but that I was, you know, more of a universalist, that I see that there are these unifying tenets between so many religions, and I'm really interested in those things that are, you know, more far-reaching than culture, nationality, race, religion.
That's an excerpt from the Telegraph's interview with actress Emma Watson. She's doing a press junket on the Noah movie. And, of course, a Noah movie, a movie that at least in some very loose way is based upon a biblical narrative, is going to raise questions about one's religious views. And she's getting asked about that. And she's one of those spiritual but not religious. She just sees truth in a variety of places. She's not so much concerned with any kind of culture or any kind of ethnic belief, but in fact with bigger truths. And she's not alone, of course. A lot of people in her age bracket, so to speak, consider themselves to be spiritual but not religious. A lot of people in a lot of age brackets find this idea, this category for themselves, very appealing. That sounds great. Rather than being considered religious, which sounds dogmatic and kind of narrow, I'm just going to think of myself as spiritual. Sounds great, doesn't it? Sounds very broad-minded. Sounds very, well, postmodern. Joining us to talk about the idea of being spiritual but not religious, Pastor Jonathan Fisk. He's associate pastor at Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois, and host of the video blog called Worldview Everlasting. Jonathan, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, Todd. Good to be on again.
Why does this idea of being spiritual but not religious, why does it appeal so much to younger people?
Yeah, well, like you kind of said, I'm not sure it only appeals to younger people. It's a pretty old idea, and maybe even older than anybody that's alive today. But at the very least, the boomer generation, the 60s, kind of talks the talk, too. But it's an idea that appeals to the flesh of human nature. Because it's a really pleasant and nice sounding way of getting to say, I am the only arbiter of truth, and I get to decide everything ever in any way that I want, and blame God for it. It's a way of assigning power to yourself without sounding like saying, I'm all knowing. But effectively, by saying I'm spiritual, not religious, I am able to declare the ability to perceive truth in all things and accept those which I deem to be right, and dismiss those which would not be part of what I deem to be right as being merely religion. And as she said, sadly, merely a matter of culture or race, which I just found so telling, coming from a British actress, really of her culture, where the Church of England has become very much a matter of culture and not a matter of truth. So you can get into the issues of, those tenets of Christianity that aren't in any other religion, things like the cross of Jesus, the resurrection of the dead, forgiveness by a vicarious atonement, and talking about those things. I'm not sure those are things she maybe has ever even heard of. So again, why does it appeal to us? It's what our flesh wants to believe, that we get to decide what truth is and nobody else can tell us that we're wrong. And then I get to kind of convince myself I'm worshiping God, even though it's a God of my own making.
You have the Emma Watsons, and she spoke for herself there. She considers herself a universalist. She came very close to saying, look, all religions have some little angle on the truth, and you kind of have to view them all and come walk away with the bigger truths, and that suffices for some kind of spiritual belief. I don't know what she believes the end of that is, but she didn't say. Then you have people who call themselves Christians and say, I'm spiritual but not religious. What's the difference there?
Well, ultimately, I'm not sure that there is, other than the Christian may, in fact, still have faith in Jesus and so still be saved. But in terms of the lie that they're buying into, it's the same lie. It just hasn't been taken to its full conclusion. It's funny, you know, as I was getting ready to get on, I was kind of scrolling through Facebook, and someone shared a meme that had a guy in a boat, and it says in the top, religion is a guy in church thinking about fishing. And on the bottom, relationship is a guy out fishing thinking about God. The same kind of thing we're talking about here. So religion is like hypocrisy. That's the definition of religion. Like, no matter what you say your religion is, it's hypocrisy. But relationship, which I think we could just, is what they mean when they say spirituality, an emotional connection to God, is you thinking about God even when you're not really doing anything God has said to do, per se. Not only is it falsely defined the terms, and this is maybe something we should talk about, like what is religion as a term and what is spirituality as a term, but again, it appeals because, look, now I get to go fishing. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to listen to God's word. I don't need forgiveness of sins. I can fish and think about God in nature, and I'm really, really a spiritual person there. So it's a way, again, of gratifying my flesh rather than trusting in God's word, which is what true religion is. True religion, according to Scripture, is to hear God speak and believe it, as opposed to reject it. It's not like it's this massive work you got to do. True religion is to believe God's word. This entire twisting of these two words is to get us to reject that in the name of hypocrisy or, again, culture. Christianity is not a religion of cultural rites and rituals. It's a religion of receiving the grace of God through the divine, holy, eternally set-apart rituals that he himself inaugurated as a man here with us. Now, if you don't believe Jesus was God, well, you know, we got a different issue to talk about. But if you're a Christian, theoretically, you believe Jesus is God, right? And so to reject his religion is just, it's a strange, strange lie to believe.
So we have people who say, I'm spiritual but not religious, and they don't want to be bound to any kind of standard of divine revelation, any kind of definitive word of God. As you say, they become the ultimate arbiters of truth. They just pick what they think is true, and that's how they define their spirituality. You have Christians who use exactly the same language and generally tend to revile religion as being hypocrisy. Who was it who came out with the video? Oh, it's got to be a year and a half ago. And he was a Christian. Bethke was his last name. I think he even wrote a book.
Hi, Jefferson Bethke.
Yeah.
Yep, yep.
And you wrote and talked extensively about it. He was a guy who said, look, what I'm rejecting is this kind of rule-based Christianity, and that's what I'm calling religion. How would you respond to that?
I would say, sure, if you want to redefine the term, or maybe not redefine, religion can have that meaning, although in the dictionary it's not the primary meaning of the word. So if you want to take a word and make it narrowly mean only one thing and get rid of all its other possible meanings, I guess you can talk that way, but you're going to confuse people. That's not the way language works. Language has to have a context. So if you're really upset about hypocrisy, talk about hypocrisy, right? Don't talk about, you know, bunny rabbits and say, well, by bunny rabbits I mean hypocrisy. And, of course, religion and religiousness is maybe the better term. Somebody can be religious by being sort of a zealot for outward things that don't really matter. And we do use the word religious that way a lot. So, but what I would say to him is look, what you're wanting to condemn is not what it sounds like you're condemning. And what you're lifting up may not be what you're intending to lift up as a good alternative. What's ironic about it, and, you know, if we want to get into the Bethke thing, was that he ended up in his video being rather incredibly legalistic about what he was saying a Christian ought to be. And so he got right back into what effectively has to be called religion, which was a set of things you're supposed to do and not do, as opposed to the so-called you know, spirituality of love, as it were. Or the things about Emma's comments that I found really interesting was, you know, okay, so there's these tenets of truth that are in every religion. My guess is if you did a study on world religions and looked for all the things that they agree about and said, okay, so all the things that, oh, if 95% of the world religions agree on this topic, we're going to say that they're right about that one. I almost guarantee you that the definition of marriage would be one of them, and it wouldn't involve homosexuality. So, you know, we speak these grand ideas about how there's these truths out there, but the whole point is I don't have to submit to anything. I can define whatever I want, and I can reject whatever I want. If I find a religion over there that says I'm right about this, I'll believe that. But if I find something over here that says I'm wrong, I'm going to dismiss that. So it still comes back to a claim to power for self, a will to power for self. And in this way, it's so strange. This is atheism. This is Nietzsche. This is the belief that God doesn't exist as any authority over me. The only authority is how strong my will is. But it doesn't say that on the surface. This is like the pop culture icing on the secular nihilist cake. And sadly, I feel for him as I heard her speaking. It's a deep ignorance of truth. And again, a deep ignorance of even what Christianity is. To kind of dismiss it as something different when it's so clearly different in that it's a historical claim about a man who is God, whose physical blood paid for the sins of the world. You don't find that in every religion. And it is a religion because it is an outside of us reality that will never change. It cannot change. It is a spirituality, too, in that it regenerates the heart and mind and even body on the last day to everlasting life. So it's both those things. If we understand those words as what they really mean, as opposed to as this false dichotomy, which, again, postmodernism is really shoving down our throats. Another sad thing is Emma probably thinks she came up with those ideas herself. Maybe not. Maybe she recognizes she read them in a book or TV's been preaching it to her. But most people that I've talked to that say this kind of thing, they think they're, like, revealing this grand truth they just figured out, when it's really just a parroting of what, again, nihilism is basically telling us we have to believe.
Pastor Jonathan Fiske is our guest. We're talking about the idea of being spiritual but not religious on this Tuesday afternoon, April the 1st. He's associate pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois, host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting, author of the book Broken, 7 Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break as Often as Possible.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
The Lord has gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. These gifts can be received every week at both Grace Lutheran Church and Trinity Lutheran Church in Wichita, Kansas. Join us for divine services at Grace on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m., as well as every Wednesday at 11 a.m., or at Trinity every Sunday at 11 a.m. Grace is located at 3310 East Pawnee and Trinity at 611 South Erie. Gather with us around our Lord and His giving His gifts to us. See you soon.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Common and experienced firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one's study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to, you know, help them to get a sense of, A, you know, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then, B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about the idea of being spiritual but not religious. Pastor Jonathan Fiske is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. He has written a book. It's a great book called Broken, 7 Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break as Often as Possible. despite its rather lengthy title, it's really quite simple. It's talking about what real Christianity is really all about. I highly recommend Broken. You can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Or you can call Concordia Publishing House, their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for Broken, 7 Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break as Often as Possible. Or just ask for Broken. They'll know what you're talking about. 1-800-325-3040. What is spiritual? You've talked a little bit about how this false dichotomy of spiritual but not religious redefines religious. How does it, in detail, how does it redefine spiritual?
I think that's a tough nut to crack in that the word spiritual like literally means having something to do with the spirit, right? You kind of got to ask the question, which spirit are you talking about? But in that sense, it is about an inner reality, at least on the surface, the outer reality of the word. It is about something that's going on inside of you. But the implication that something can't be spiritual if it's religious or if they are somehow opposed to each other is where the real joke is. I mean, that by definition, a religious act that is outward is done for a spiritual reason. Even the hypocrite has a spirituality driving what they do. And so it's that false setting of them against each other rather than seeing them as in harmony with each other. At the same time, to use a phrase like spirituality is to use a phrase like religion as a noun. All spirituality is a religion. It may not have all of the joined dogmas or doctrines. Although this is kind of maybe at the heart of it then, and what people really mean when they speak this way. When someone says, I'm religious, what they mean is, I have a public spirituality. I have a spirituality that is shared with other people. We have the same spirituality, and together we speak about it and believe the same things. Whereas when somebody says, I'm spiritual, what they mean is that I have a private religion, that my religion is just mine, and I create it and define it and change it as I will. And so in that sense, the terms are totally interchangeable with each other in English as a language, but then they come to now mean public versus private, outer versus inner. I am spiritual. I have a private religion. I am religious. I have a public spirituality.
In your experience, someone who is kind of the hard, fast, spiritual but not religious kind, they'll say stuff like, well, I believe in great truths, or I believe in transcendent truths, or even a higher power. When you actually ask them to define those things, what truths are you talking about? Or who is that higher power? What do you generally find?
Yeah, not much. They're not really sure. I mean, it's kind of the agnostic religion for a lot of them. I mean, some will have something to say. It does, in terms of the identity of God, there isn't much. At best, maybe nature or something behind nature, and so you see the roots of paganism there. When it comes to morality, there is they would say it's love. You know, it's about love. It's being good. And like, there's a song, maybe Jeff can find it by the time we go out. Love is my religion. It was a song a couple of years back. By love, they don't really mean self-sacrifice for the good of the other. They don't really mean clinging to truth for the sake of the good of all. What they mean instead is sensitivity to the feelings of others, lest they be bad feelings, right? I was joking with my eighth grade class today about I need to rewrite the Ten Commandments for the modern world so that we know what the real Ten Commandments of our culture are. And commandment number one was the one I made up on the spot, thou shalt not be insensitive. That is the predominant moral factor of America, that I must not do anything that might infringe upon your emotions. And if I do, then I have become mean, which maybe is the second commandment is like it, thou shalt not be mean, right? So to be insensitive is not to realize your emotions. To be mean is to infringe upon your emotions. And as soon as I have done that, now I am a bad person. I've ceased to be good. Of course, I can infringe upon your emotions if your emotions infringe upon mine. And so I can tell you you're not good because you're being mean, so you better shut up and stop talking about Jesus. But I'm okay doing that because you're the mean one. And since my will is stronger than yours, I'm just going to shout you down. Yeah. And so there's the other thing is, you know, the one who has the will to shout the other down and say the other's mean loudest is the one who's not mean. So there's what they say it is, love. And there's the way it plays out, which ends up really being hate, which is at the heart of Nietzsche's, you know, Superman. At the end of the day, the true man, the great man who will unify society, is the one who has enough hate for others to believe himself to reign in the place of God. And that's not Nietzsche's words exactly, but it's one of the ways I'd summarize what he taught.
But it also kind of highlights, not to mix our literary or philosophical metaphors, it highlights kind of the Orwellian truth that in a world without God, words like love and hate become completely interchangeable with each other.
Right. Well, all words do. There's no truth, and none of the words have any meaning. And so spin becomes kind of the key word, or deconstruction, right, as the postmodernists call it. If I don't like what you're saying, and I don't want other people to think what you're saying, my goal then becomes to change the meaning of the words you say in the eyes of the other people, so that they hear you saying what I want them to hear you saying. Change the definition of the words, which is exactly what will be going on in this religious-spiritual argument, is we've made these two things that aren't really opposed to each other as ideas, totally opposed to each other for the sake of destroying a particular idea, namely organized public religion.
With only about 30 seconds here, we started out talking about why this appeals to so many young people. You pointed out rightly, it appeals to a lot of people. Why does the category of spiritual but not religious sadly appeal to so many Christians? About 30 seconds here, Jonathan.
Well, because the flesh lives in all of us, right? I mean, we all have the old man clinging around our neck, and he's a vile creature trying to undo us. And even the good Christian who's repenting at the altar, receiving the Lord's Supper, you know, seeking Christ in all things, day in and day out, their flesh is dragging them away to justify their works constantly. I mean, we're living in self-justification constantly. And now here you have an age in which Christians have been saying for 100 years and plus, you know, doctrine's not that important. It divides us. We'll just major in the majors and minor in the minors. We're going to keep the big doctrines, but not the little ones. So you have this age of really poorly Bible knowledge knowing Christians, and then in comes this new idea that like gives their flesh a reason to kind of say I'm still a Christian, but I can kind of make it up as I go, and it's a perfect trap. I mean, why would I not buy into it if I've got no reason to not buy into it? I've got no doctrine that I actually want to hold on to, which maybe is a good segue. This will kind of be the goal of talking at the conference this summer with you guys, you know, making the case for being both spiritual and religious. You know, there's a reason to be a believer in doctrine who sees that doctrine as having a practice, and that these things aren't against each other, but that my religion as a Christian is highly spiritual, and my spirituality as a Christian is highly religious, and this is the best of both worlds.
Folks, you can find out more about the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference that Pastor Fisk just mentioned. He'll be speaking there, among others, Friday, June the 13th and Saturday, June the 14th, right here in Collinsville, Illinois. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org. Look for the logo for the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, or you can call Craig here at Lutheran Public Radio, 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. Ask for Craig and ask him about the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. Pastor Jonathan Fisk is associate pastor at Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois, host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting, and author of the book Broken, 7 Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break as Often as Possible. Jonathan, thanks for being our guest.
It's always a pleasure.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to talk with Dr. Charles Geeshan, Son of God, Son of Man. We'll see what that means. Also, we'll discuss the inerrancy and inspiration of Holy Scripture. Pastor Christian Teeves will be our guest. Whenever we seek a lowest common denominator in whatever it is, guess what? We always find it. That's why Christianity isn't about a lowest common denominator, about commonly held truth, but about the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among His people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
The CLCC Spring Conference, Building Up the Body of Christ, is April 29th and 30th in Bloomington, Minnesota. Join us, won't you, with Pastors Jonathan Fisk, David Kind, and Rob Jarvis, and explore ideas for engaging youth and younger adults to become more involved in the life of the church. We hope you can be there with us. All the conference details are at theclcc.org. Building Up the Body of Christ, April 29th and 30th in Bloomington, Minnesota. Get registered today at theclcc.org.